at Perry?
Yes, sir.
Okay. May the Lord bless you, brother. Thank you.
Sweet, sweet home of prayer, Brother Paul, and very appropriate. I need the prayers of you not only yesterday and today, but tomorrow, right on. I need your prayers. And thought about the brother that came up last night. Each one of them had something in common. They needed the freshness of the Holy Spirit with them when they spoke to us. They need it this morning. And I'll be honest with you, this morning I got up and I tried to pray that the Lord be with those ministers that will come before you this morning and try to give them the understanding to lay aside the cares of the world. Brother Paul prayed that this morning. But I wasn't counting myself in that this morning when I prayed, Brother Clayton. I'll be honest with you about it. But I'm going to try to not take no more time than I need to. I'll try to take the time the Lord had me to take and move out of the way so the rest of the preachers can come up and preach to you. I want to look at Jude chapter 1, verse 1. There's only one chapter there, so don't get worried about getting mixed up on the chapters. And this little verse, I think I have about to come to this as my anchor, if I have one in the scripture, that above many other scripture verses, that this one is so blessed to me to be able to see what Christ has put through Jude in this one, a few phrases in this first verse, to me sums up what our Lord and Savior has done, what our God has done for us, and what He is doing for us. It says, Jude, the servant of Christ, Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Now, that word sanctified, you can take it in several ways, I think. There's two that's almost direct opposite of what it would say. If you're sanctioned by Congress, that means that you've done something that you need to be called down about, that they have found error in something that has been done and needs to be brought to the public's attention. It also can say that it's sanctioned as understanding. I understand that you, what you have said. I sanction that. It also says that I recognize it as a yes, that I have sanctioned your approval. It is an approval for that. But it also says that sanctioned by God as if it had already happened, which it has already happened. It says that, Brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. We were sanctified before the foundation of the earth. It just had to take place. It says it is sanctified. And as present tense, I know what the word is means. I don't have to ask anybody. I know what it means. It is as is in the current situation. And as the Bible spoke about the word is in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and right on, it is current. You know, we are perfected. It is, we are perfected. It just hadn't reached the point to yet where this old fleshly body is laid aside and picked up that infallible body, the one, the immortal body. We hadn't picked up that, but it's as if it already has happened, taken place. When God speaks, it is already has done. It is assured because there's no guesswork. There's nothing that's going to be left out of it. There's some things we go through with on the way. There's some pains and suffering. You know, there's some kind of pains that brings forth joy. There's a pain that brings forth happiness. There's pain that brings forth something good. Then there's a pain that don't seem to amount to nothing. I have some pain in my leg. It don't seem to amount to nothing, but it sure does keep me awake a lot at night. It makes me suffer through the night. But when my wife had two children, she went through some pain and some suffering that brought some joy. You know, there's been a little bit of I wish I hadn't gone through that. But there in the joy of bringing forth that. In the scripture says that's a curse that's put on the woman that she will have through pain birth. There will be suffering. But God had already provided for that. God had already provided a way that this would continue because He said, be fruitful and multiply. And He told the woman that. He told her that. He said, but through your childbirth, you will have pain. You will have that. God has given us the joy of knowing that something good comes from that. There's a good kind of pain. And I try not to take too much time, but I want to get to the end of that point if the Lord blessed me to do that. But it says, this next phrase, he says, let me read it first. He said, Brother James, them that have been sanctified by God the Father, By God the Father, we have been sanctified. We weren't sanctified God didn't have to sanctify us. He knew we were already sanctified in His sight because He knew the outcome of everything. But He says here, and preserved by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did the sanctifying, but God spoke as if it already happened way before the foundation of the world began. His Son was to come, born of a virgin. And by the way, she had pain when she bore Jesus. She had the pain of a childbirth, suffering through that as a woman would suffer through, because she was bearing the Son of God. And by the way, and just in case you don't know this, she is not the Father of our God. She is not the Father of our God, as some would have you to believe that she bore Jesus. Therefore, she was a father. She was a mother of. Did I say father? She not the mother of our God. If you misunderstood, listen to that part. She is not the mother of our God. God is the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is also God that came in the flesh and He ascended back into heaven to where He would be sitting at the right hand of the Lord of our Heavenly Father, and bringing upon us the Holy Spirit. He says, and preserved through Jesus Christ, that we have been preserved, that His blood has been sufficient to preserve us through all eternity, through all situations, through all sin, all sorrow, all those things that we face in our lifetime. Now, I could have a list longer than Paul said, and he said he was the worst sinner of all. I could have a list longer than his of the sins that I have committed, but through the preservation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I can measure up with every one of God's children that has been saved, that will be saved, and are saved. And if you think that you have out-sinned me, I can put a balance sheet here, and I guarantee you I would tip the scales, and you would go up. Brother J.C. and I last night was joking. He said that he was going to cast out devils. He wanted to set at the last down at the end of the beach, so he'd be the first one out. I said, hold the door for me. I'm right behind you. I should have said, hold the door. I'll go ahead of you. But that's not the way it turned out. But he said, and let me read the third part of that. And we have been called. He said, I'm going to read the whole thing again, then come back to the word call. He says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. And if we are servant of Jesus Christ, we're the same as Jude was. He had a particular and separate call from each one of us, but each one of us are called to something. The brother talked about works last night. We have a work to do. I'm kind of guilty of not working like I ought to. And I told somebody, several people last night, they said, how you doing? I said, well, if my wife is not around, I'm doing pretty good. But she walks up and begins to want me to do something, hurt someplace, and this thing gets worse. The harder the job, the worse the work. But no, that's not the way it is. But that's the way sometimes we work. We don't want to work because we're lazy. We don't want to work for whatever. And there has been times that you didn't work because that was not a spiritual thing to do, that you didn't work. And as I understand the word in the old song, Oh Land of Rest to Thee I Sigh, we'll wait. That's the way we say it. I think it started out, we'll work, but they took it out because they didn't want to think the Primitive Baptists done any work. We can't work our way to heaven, but we have something to do in the meantime. And I'm not telling you something you don't know. But he says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Now, if you have been called, to do something. I don't know what it is, but you've been called to do something. And whatever that calling is, it's between you and God. You may seek the Lord's help in that, and the Lord will surely answer. If He's called you, He gives you a way to go. You have been called in several ways. You've been called out of darkness into a marvelous light. If you understand what God's Word said, it's because you have been called. You've been called out of darkness into a marvelous light, that you may be able to see what the Word of God says, what it has to offer us through His mighty great blessing. And we have been given the opportunity to serve one another, sometime it's in helping some way through a pain and suffering. Sometime I've extended a hand to help somebody that couldn't get up out of the chair. And sometime I extended a hand when it was the wrong one. You know, this hand here, my right shoulder, gave me a lot of problems. But I would suffer through it. It was worth it to get them a little bit of help. Those kind of things that happen. I talked a little bit about, I just mentioned about the childbirth. And believe me, I don't know nothing about childbirth, the pains of that. There's no way in the world I can understand what that is. I can understand what comparable pain is to that, but I can't understand how a woman does have that pain. But you know, we have a Lord and Savior that understands that. He has those things that he tells us. And you know, when he was talking to the apostles, and they were talking about the things that were to come and the things that he was telling them to be expecting, he told them that there would be a comforter coming, all those things that he had to go through with. He told them that they would be suffering, and there would be things that when they're called, and each one of those apostles, that when he called and told them what they would be going through, I don't know that they believed and understood that. And Paul records the most suffering, I think, of any of the apostles that was there. And the things that he described, the things that he said, was extremely suffering that he went through, the hardships. And he had a good path to the things that was talked about a little bit last night about he could be a Pharisee. He could have been a chief priest. He could have been those things. But he said, "What would thou hast me do, Lord?" He asked what that. And when you ask that, you better be prepared for the answer, because the answer may come in a way that makes you a little bit scared. Brother Ernest Stump talked about how, and he answered a question I've had before my mind a lot of time about coming before the Lord's people with fear and trembling. And I used to think, well, how does a person come up here and speak to these people so comfortably talking and these things? And he said, you know, I come before the Lord, trusting the Lord will be there, but in the flesh, I don't want to fail. I may fail, but the Lord won't fail. If the Lord is blessing me to preach this morning, it's him, it's not me, because if it was up to me, I'd be telling some old yarn or something to make you laugh or something like that. But God's word is what's the serious part of this scripture, and if he makes it a little bit amusing sometime, I agree with that. But I'm thankful that we have the word that he's given here. But he says, In John 16, I'm going to pass by John 3:16 and go down a little way where he's talking to the apostles about a period of sorrow. And Jesus says in verse 19, he said, now they were talking. They were wanting to know more. They'd come to a point where they were wanting to understand a little bit more of what God had said to them through his son, Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ, the Lord, was saying to them, what they were doing now and what was to come. It's good to know what is to come, what they anticipate. There are some things we don't know. We don't know what this election is going to be this fall. We don't know what's going to happen to this nation. It looks like we can't depend upon anything for sure. Our Constitution is being trampled on. Our Supreme Court is not judging, in my opinion, the way they ought to. If you don't agree with that, you can be wrong if you want to, but I believe that they're doing wrong. But when the Lord gives us something to stand on, the truth to know and understand, we're to stand on that truth, and we're not to let it go by. But he said, and this is what he was telling them, he says, that they said, therefore, what is, I'm reading verse 18, they said, therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? They didn't understand what a little while was. Now, I've got some friends that they said, I'll be there in a little while. Well, 4 hours later, they hadn't showed up yet. You know, that's those medical minutes, you know. You say, you'll be just a minute, and those minutes you sat there in the waiting room turned into an hour and a half. That's just not right, in my opinion. But he says here, a little while, and when Jesus speaks about a little while, you just sit down and wait, because it may take a little while for it to get there. He said, we cannot tell what he saith. That's what the apostles were saying to him. Said, now Jesus knew what they were desirous to ask him, and they said unto them, and he said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of what I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me? You know, that sounds a little bit confusing. But what he was saying, he said, I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter is not going to come. He knew what he was facing. And if you've read where he prayed in the garden, as if, and he sweated as if there was drops of blood, he sweated. He went through the pain and agony of knowing what was going to be placed on him. Not the death, but the sin that he never had a part of that was placed on him. The sins from me and Brother Clayton and Sister Nancy and Brother Lawrence. You know Brother Lawrence sins too, I imagine. I hadn't really told him anything, but I questioned him now. I believe he could chunk after a while, you'd find out where he's sinned. Now, if he's done some things that I've done, he may not want to admit it. I don't want to admit some of these things, but I'm willing to face it if it's necessary before God's people to do it. The things that I have done, I just say I've sinned and let it go. That, you know, the foolishness crossed my mind the other day about if, you know, Jesus was a carpenter. And I ought not to say that. I ain't going to say I am too. You know, I wondered if he got hit his thumb, what did he say? You know, and you people that have the hammer before you hit yourself. Jesus didn't sin. I know he didn't. I don't know what he said, but he didn't sin. Whatever it was a good, something that was good. And he may not even hit himself, but he may have been a better carpenter than me. He may have maybe never done that before. But he said, now Jesus knew what they were desirous to ask him, and they said unto him, do ye inquire among yourselves of that? I said, a little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. You know, they saw him after he resurrected from the grave, after he come out of the grave. They saw him then. They saw him for some 40 days on this earth. We'll see him in a little while when the time comes. And you know, the older I get, the shorter life gets. And in a little while, you know, I mathematically and according to what nature is, a little while I won't be here. And y'all won't ever see me no more this side of this earth. I believe that when God calls his children home, that's going to be the next little while when we see him. He says, verily I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the word shall rejoice, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. There's going to be some joy coming out of that. There was some joy coming out of it. There will be joy coming out of it, but it is joy coming out of what our Savior did on the cross. And when he come out of that grave, that's where the joy was. He is risen. You know, tomorrow night, Sunday, I guess, is Easter. But that Sunday that he come out of there and introduced our Sabbath, if you want to call it the Sabbath, our new week started then on the day he rose up out of the grave. That was the joy that we have. The joy comes in the morning, the song says. It comes in the Sunday morning, we come to church and we have some joy when we do that. Friday morning, we come to church and I hope and pray as joyful to you as it is to me. I'm thankful that we're here this morning, and I'm thankful that he has risen up out of the grave, that we can have that joy, that the sorrow come first. This death came and the burial came, and on the cross and then the burial, but the joy come when he come out of that grave. And when he ascended into heaven, I mean, it was even more another example of what's going to happen, that he ascended up into heaven, and as he goes up to heaven, he's going to come back and get his, and that I'm talking about his, and there's going to be a great awakening coming on there. You know, we hear about the great awakening, those things, there's going to be a great awakening, and what's left behind is going to stay behind. What goes up, I'm not going to turn and look back, and I'm not going to be looking for mama and grandma or nobody else. And somebody mentioned the scripture about what they asked last night about the husbands and which one would be the husband. I'm glad I don't have to worry about that. I'm glad that that's not a factor to be faced with us, because that will be a joy. There won't be any of the old thoughts that may have been there. Then he says, and when a woman, when she is she is in travail, has sorrow. I know some. We have two daughters. One has eight children, the other has six. That's a total of 14. Seven boys and seven girls. And that youngest one, when she was little, I thought she'd never have any children, because when she got hurt, the least little thing, I mean, she fell apart. And I thought, well, if she had one child, that'd be all she'll have. But that young'un began to have young'uns, and she had eight, a total of eight, and two miscarriages, by the way. But she, she'd have a baby, and she's up and about, and waiting for the next one to come by. It was a joy to her. I don't know, I wasn't there when she was delivering. Mary Jo was there for about a half a dozen of them, I think. But when they were delivered, she was ready to have another one. And those children, they're precious. They're precious, they are. They're joy that has been brought about. But you know, the scripture says that a woman will go through great pain and suffering through childbirth, but then she wants her husband back. I believe that this is a good example of what Jesus says, that as a woman, she has a pain and suffering. And when Jesus Christ died on that cross, there was pain and suffering went through there, but there was joy that his inheritance, his children, us, sorry as I am, I won't say, well, y'all are sorry as I am, but as sorry as I am, and y'all however sorry y'all are, we all are his. We are his inheritance. He has died on the cross to pay for his inheritance, and it was joy in the morning when he come and had delivered us from the sin of eternal salvation and given us eternal salvation. That call that I read back here in Jude verse 1, that call, he called us out of darkness. He called us to repentance. He called us to a work. He called us to love us. He called us to share his blessings with us. He called us out of, and he preserved us at the same time. You know, you talking about women and preserving and all that. You can't get any better than explaining that if you've been born again and God has blessed you to be able to understand the spirit of that, and he has preserved you, that you're not going to have to worry about falling away eventually. Brother Clayton, I believe it was last night, was saying the joy of coming to, no, it was one of the elders talking about when he said that nobody that has been born again wishes they weren't born of the Spirit. I ever have said, I wish I'd never been born. You ever said that in as a child particularly? You say, well, I wish I'd never been born. Maybe I was adopted. You know, it don't matter if he was adopted or not. If you're a child of God, all of us are adopted and accepted into the beloved. And if that's the way it is, that's not going to change. It's always, we can depend upon that being a truth there. But he says here, a woman when she is troubled with that has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish. Jesus didn't remember that anguish no more. He said, I have got my children now. I'm happy. I have done my work here on earth. Soon I go to the Father, but I got a little bit more to do. And he went on to do that. He says, for the joy that a man is born into the world, Jesus Christ, and we are called man many times, men and women referred to as man. We are born of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into a new birth. We have been accepted into the beloved. We sit at the right hand. It hadn't happened yet, but it's going to. And we can say it is already because he says it is going to happen. If he said it is, he don't make no mistake. May God bless y'all and pray for the next one coming up.
Amen. Number 597, same first and last.